Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop!
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So we have just some little bits of BTS news. I think the biggest thing that happened recently is all of the concerts that happened in Arlington. And one of the most viral moments is Jimin went over and kissed a young fan, kind of like on the cheek, on like the side of her face. Mm-hmm. It was so precious and so sweet. Her response is just like so endearing, how she's like, I got a kiss. I got a kiss, you know, like
she was gushing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, rightfully so. But yeah, it was a fan who attended the concert through Heroes for Children. And so Heroes for Children, I guess, partnered with United Healthcare to bring young cancer fighters and their families to a BTS concert. And so I just think it's really wonderful that not only did these kids get to attend, but also like Jimin for recognizing them and like coming over to them and making their concert extra special.
Yeah.
Just shows who Jimin is as a person too. And we love him. We love her. It was just such a really wonderful fan moment.
Oh, what like an unforgettable moment for her. And I'm sure for him mm-hmm. too. And just to be able to like provide the space for young children fighting cancer to attend a concert, you know, a BTS concert, mm-hmm. and to also just make it such a memorable, amazing night. Like, that's just so special and so wonderful.
So special.
Yeah.
I saw a bunch of photos of like all of the families and the young kids that get to go. And so just how wonderful.
Yeah.
So another thing that is recently been announced or has been in recent news is Taeyang kind of talked with fans a little bit and shared what he's been going through. And he shared with us that he's had hearing loss in his left ear up to about like 30%. And he noticed that his hearing started to diminish while he was serving in the Korean military. And this is just like heartbreaking to hear because he's a singer and a musician. And to be musical, you know, you have to depend a lot on your ear and your hearing to be mm-hmm. able to do what you do. So the fact that he's going through this is so tough. I have to imagine, like, not only is it impacting his everyday life, but like his ability to perform and stuff. Like, he's still, we would never know.
No.
But now that it's word has gotten out, there's all these videos resurfacing of him on tour and like members saying something to him, and then he's having to like
turn his other ear
and mm-hmm. show his, you know, listen through his other ear because his left ear has had this hearing loss. It's just so sad. I hope he gets better. He says he's going through treatment for it. So
yeah.
I hope that he gets some hearing back and like prevents any kind of further hearing loss.
Yeah.
But how sad.
I know. I feel like he's so young to be going through that substantial mm-hmm. amount of hearing loss, and it makes me feel really mm-hmm. bad for him, especially like you were saying, considering his career, considering his vocation mm-hmm. in life. Even I'm just thinking about like during a concert when they're wearing the in-ears to let them know where they're at in a song or what the cues are or whatever, like
yeah,
if he can only hear out of one ear, you know, it can make it tough to, you know, he might like miss a cue or something like that. Of course he hasn't, but like, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm sure that could be a concern for him that might happen further down the line. And
right.
It's just really sad that he's going through that.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully he ends up getting better, or at least no further
yeah some treatment
loss, but just feel for him. And then the other thing that I really wanted to talk about for our intro here is I want to give a shout out to my coworker Pamela, who just attended her first BTS concert ever in Arlington.
Whoa!
Day one.
Yeah, amazing.
Congrats to Pamela. She went with her husband, Jesse, just them two. And it's so interesting because Jesse actually was the one who discovered BTS. And I think that's so sweet. And they actually like really got into BTS through Run BTS, like the variety show, instead of just like the music. Like it's kind of like they bonded over, and they've got three boys mm-hmm. and all of the boys also love BTS.
So cool.
They were a little envious that Pam and her husband got to go to the concert, so she's like, we got to go again with the boys, you know. But tickets were so hard to get, and they were like
so expensive,
gotta travel yeah. all this stuff. So I'm just glad it was them that went. And then yeah, I think they're planning on taking their boys next time. But yeah, like what amazing family bonding that they all just like watch Run BTS together, and they love their new album. And so yeah, shout out to Pamela.
Shout out to Pamela.
I hope she had a really wonderful time. Yeah, I'll see her tomorrow.
I love it so much. Whenever you're like, when you first started this job and you found out that Pamela was into BTS and mm-hmm. then you guys could bond over mm-hmm. it and talk about it, I just thought that was so cool. It's uh-huh. just rare that in your professional life you come across somebody that is also, I've never come across someone else who's also a BTS fan. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's so cool. And I'm so happy that she got to go and her husband got
Me
to go
too.
With her. How cool.
Like she's, can you imagine? Like she's going to want to go to every BTS concert now.
Especially like after
you
this
go
tour.
Once you're in it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like you, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Anyways. Well, that's our little intro here, but today we can't help but to continue the Grammy discussion.
Oh my gosh.
So
there's still more to talk about.
Tuned.
Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we're kind of continuing with our Grammy discussion from our last episode. The only reason being is that there's been new news circulating around just some reconsiderations around the Best Asian Pop category after BTS have chosen to not submit mm-hmm. this year for the Grammys.
Yeah. And I think last episode we were like, oh, we could talk about this for another hour, you know, if we wanted uh-huh. to, but we weren't really expecting to do that. But just with this new reconsideration coming about, it just piqued our interest mm-hmm. a little bit, and we wanted to dive a little bit more into it and discuss our thoughts on what they're saying now and see,
yeah.
you know, we're just curious where it's gonna take us. So mm-hmm. before we get into today's episode, we do want to say thank you so much, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further, you could consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Yes, thank you for being here, for all of your support, and of course, for listening.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into this discussion about the Grammys and about that they are now reconsidering the Best Asian Pop category. We got some of these quotes from a Rolling Stone article that we will link in the episode description, but Harvey Mason Jr. initially, as you all know, defended the Best Asian Pop category on his social media with a very PR curated statement, but new conversations with stakeholders appear to have changed his mind. So on August 14th, he shared a new statement, and we're going to quote it, and then we're going to kind of break it down for you all. So he said, "The Grammy organization exists to serve all music people, and part of that is working to ensure that no voice or community gets overlooked or misunderstood. It's clear from our numerous conversations with many stakeholders over the past 2 weeks that, regardless of our intent and desire to be even more inclusive, there are some artists in this space who feel that this category isn't representing the music they work so hard to create in the way that they wish. As a musician myself, I take that to heart. Over the past 6 years, the Academy has shown that it can act decisively and move swiftly to meet the needs of our music community. The management and board are committed to working together to keep pace with that progress and ensure that the musicians we intend to honor feel truly seen and heard by our actions."
Yeah. Lots to unpack with this statement, because I feel like there's so many points to kind of discuss. But one of the main things was, like, initially when you first sent this to me, Kayla, the big question was, well, what are they reconsidering? What are they, like, in the decisively and move swiftly to meet the needs of our music community?
Mm-hmm.
And we've pretty much already discussed that, like, we can't imagine that BTS is going to change their mind about all of this. But, like, why are they, it's just weird to see this kind of response so quickly,
right?
Like, they just went from no, like, this was made to represent multiple artists and be more inclusive and all this stuff and, like, really defending it, and now it's like, oh, these stakeholders are having numerous conversations and they want to reconsider some things,
right?
And what's the intent? Is it for specifically BTS? Is it for K-pop? Like, you know, I'm just kind of curious,
right,
to see. So the next big question we had was, well, who are the stakeholders? So we're just going to dive a little bit into who the stakeholders are. So there's a board of trustees, officers that set norms and rules for the organization. And so there's four national officers. And then under that, there are chapter boards in major cities around the U.S., including Los Angeles, Atlanta, New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and then there's, like, state boards as well, such as, like, Texas and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw this on their website, all I could think about when I heard these chapter boards being in these specific areas is just these being major U.S. stops for BTS's world tour, like Los Angeles and, like, Arlington, Texas, and Tampa, Florida, and New York, and Washington, D.C. Like, what? These are just cities and areas of the U.S. that have been massively impacted by the world tour going on,
right,
for BTS. Like, BTS has brought massive crowds to these areas, have sold out their largest stadiums that only other artists like Taylor Swift can do, who is for sure, like, one of the stars for the Grammys,
right?
I feel like. And they've been doing, not only have they just sold out these stadiums for this year, they've been doing it for many years. So I just don't understand, and I don't know how these board members could be so blind and ignorant to the impact of BTS. Maybe these, like, stakeholders now are, like, after hearing BTS's statement, now they're like, hold up, huge oversight. How could we have done this? I don't know.
Right.
I really don't. But one of the only things that I can think of is just that they're really not blind to it, and rather they're, like, purposefully being inequitable and discriminatory,
yeah,
to the group. I was talking to Corey about it, and he's like, well, the Grammys are elitist. And I completely agree with that. They definitely have, like, they're known for having a high standard. But because of that, they've become very exclusive and only allowing people of a certain demographic who meet whatever specific criteria that they've made up in their mind,
right,
to continue to be in this very elite crowd, which has nothing really to do with musical talent,
right,
or musical cultural impact. And whether or not they know their own biases and prejudice or whatever, it's just disappointing to see so many chapters these board members agree upon, at least initially, the blatantly unfair treatment to a musical group that has had such an impact on musical history.
Right. And like with all of this, of course, you still have to remember that this award was created the same year that BTS returned from the military. And
right.
it's so obviously created as like a here, this is something that BTS can be part of instead of being part of the bigger, more prestigious awards that are in the ceremony. But I definitely agree with you that it's like an elitist group of individuals that, you know, like they want to keep the music and like the standard of it very refined in their own opinion and in their
yes.
norms and rules that within the organization are set. And those aren't necessarily things that are public info. So we don't know what those yeah. standards are for deciding. But like we talked about last episode, it really does seem like it's rooted in like a white supremacy stance, like you're saying, racism and blatant xenophobia of just not being mm-hmm. willing to accept something that does not fit the like the cookie cutter criteria that they, and I don't even want to say the word traditional, because even traditional seems like white, like it could just be replaced yeah. with that, because that's what it feels like they are doing, you know. I also like the stakeholders too. When I think about the stakeholders, I'm thinking about like Grammy's advertisers and yeah. how a lot of people are talking about, well, the Grammys just wanted to use BTS for views because their TV rates are declining so much. Like the viewership has mm-hmm. been on a massive decline over the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. And if BTS were up for an award, if they were attending, of course you'd have ARMY all over the world tuning in. Mm-hmm. And so like that's great for, you know, selling ads, that's great for the corporate partners, that's great for, you know, the Grammys themselves on being able to say like, look, we aren't losing popularity, we still have some credibility, look how much viewership we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking about how they're I think they're like, oh shit, we're gonna have way less viewers, we gotta do something now, we gotta put out another statement.
Are investing and partnered with the Grammys, and now they're like, I would imagine they're pissed off.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what is this? Like, I don't really want to be partnered with you if we're not going to have the viewership that you claim that you're going to have. Like, you just lost a major artist because you're not properly representing them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, to lose those corporate partners is just, I mean, we're talking money now.
Oh, yeah.
Loss of money.
Money is like where the decisions get made, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They, on the Grammys website, they have a ton of corporate partners listed, but mm-hmm. really big companies like IBM and Sony and MasterCard and Haagen-Dazs. And like, it's such a huge variety of
yeah.
corporate partners that, you know, you mm-hmm. could expect when you're watching the Grammys to get advertisements from these companies. So, yeah. I think that they're getting pressure on the money side, on the corporate
yeah.
side of it. And I also saw a lot of rumors
I think it shows how much pull BTS has, too.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know who the people are at Sony or MasterCard, but I can't imagine them being like, you pissed off BTS? Like, what? Like, the biggest group in the world after they just performed for the FIFA World Cup, you're going to snub them? Like, I don't want anything to do with, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whether it's that or it just shows, like, BTS is such a big name.
Right.
You know?
For them
and
to.
And you're going to fucking pull this.
Right.
Bullshit.
For them to say, we're not submitting, and it makes the Grammys scramble like this. Like, they've never done that for an artist mm-hmm. before, because there's been multiple yeah. artists like Drake and, you know, so many other artists that have said they're boycotting the Grammys. They've made public statements about it. They're not going to submit to the Grammys for X, Y, and Z reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never, like, been releasing and, like, you know, talking mm-hmm. about it so much. There's also been a lot of rumors mm-hmm. going around that since BTS has said, you know, made their statement, that within the Recording Academy and the people that vote, that there's been a lot of discourse about, did we do the right thing with creating this category? So
I love that they're questioning it.
Yeah. I want to break down
as they should.
Yeah, as they should. I want to break down a part of the quote where he said, there are some artists in this space who feel this category isn't representing the music they work so hard to create in the way that they wish. just say BTS. You mentioned
just say BTS.
He mentioned BTS in his first statement, you know, like by name. So why are we like, it's like they're trying to distance themselves from, you know, BTS, but just say what you're talking about. Publicly apologize to BTS or something, you know?
Yeah, right. Instead of, frustrating to
right.
Yeah, saying some people or whatever. Yeah.
And exactly. And it's like, it's almost putting a little bit of the blame on them, saying like, they feel that this category isn't representing, instead of them using language of saying, we understand now that this category doesn't represent in the way that we intended. Like, there's no,
absolutely.
It's very passive language. I feel like
that it's almost like it's the equivalent of someone saying, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right.
It's like not truly recognizing it's not taking ownership.
Right. It's not taking ownership at all. I feel like it's lacking accountability. And in their statement where they're like, you know, we're trying to, you know, be more inclusive. Okay. But they're lacking true equity and opportunity among artists in the way that they create a category like this and similar categories that we discussed last episode. Like, he's missing the point that this is about letting them, BTS, play on the same playing field as the other major artists, and that we don't need to separate everything out the way that they are, especially like with a category like this, the naming of it, Asian pop, where they're like blurring the lines of genre and region. Like, they could have said a K-pop category, they could have said, you know, but it's weird to put the two, like the region, which Asia is so vast and there's so many countries that are part of Asia. So like, you know, are you including all of these countries, or are you really just like, oh, we're just looking at Korea and Japan, you know? Like, I don't feel like that's very inclusive, honestly.
It's not. And yeah, like you were saying, blurring the line of genre and region. Like, I can get behind like specific genres having categories. Yeah. I can kind of see that. But we brought up this argument last time of like, why are European artists, British artists, German art, whatever, you know, like, why are they getting put in with just like the main categories? Why do they not have like best European pop album?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely like separating them out. They're just not putting them on the same playing field, like you said.
Right. Totally. And I'm just going to bring this up now. It's something that I was going to say later, but I think it fits here, is that, you know, other major American award shows, Billboard, AMAs, and MTV all already have K-pop categories that they've created in previous years. Not this year, the year that BTS returned from the military, but previously, to expand upon, to share, to celebrate specifically K-pop, and, you know, create a space without, like, I don't know, in the way that they did it, they weren't doing it reacting to a group returning. They were doing it because they saw the organic rise of K-pop in the United States.
Yes.
And they saw that there was a space, and so they wanted to honor that space. But the way that the Grammys went about this, it seems like they were just like, oh, BTS are coming back, we don't want them to be nominated in every category and sweep our awards show, this boy group, this Asian boy group, so we're gonna create a separate category for them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They did theirs out of fear, absolutely, of BTS's return and them sweeping. And like you were saying, like other American award shows were doing it. There's something about the timing of it.
It's the timing.
Like, the organic rise of K-pop happened many, many years ago. Whenever BTS came with DNA and they performed DNA at the American Music Awards, that's when they were like, oh,
this is something.
This is something. Mm-hmm. This is something that we need to start. We need to get on board.
There's
with
an audience
for this.
This
is what's happening
this.
In music.
Right.
Yeah. This exactly. is what's happening in music right now. And they did it appropriately and accordingly. Whereas the Grammys have been literally putting on their blinders, all of
dragging
this, and
their
just
feet.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, trying to just ignore it, hoping that it would go away. I guarantee you that's what they were thinking.
Completely.
And yeah, and it was out of fear and out of pressure for viewership that they were like, you know what? If we're going to have BTS come, we're just going to have to create a category for them to keep fans watching and to keep people happy.
Right.
Not to really celebrate the music.
So, and what's interesting,
and honor it.
I think like the next quote that we want to break down goes along with that, where he said, over the past 6 years, the Academy has shown that it can act decisively and more swiftly to meet the needs of our music community. And it makes me think about what we discussed last episode about Beyonce winning Best Country Album of the Year with Cowboy Carter. And then in response, the next year, they made a traditional country music and a contemporary country music category, because for some reason, a Black woman winning this category is just not acceptable. And they have to still have their traditional, quote unquote, traditional category, you know, to make sure that the white country artist could still win something. Like, you know, it's okay if somebody who looks different than you wins an award in the same genre because they make really good music. Like, Beyonce, one of the biggest entertainers of all time with this incredible album. Anyways, I'm going to rant about that now. But to me, to get to the point, it's just moving the goalpost. It's okay. Well, instead of this one that you could clearly be in the running for, that you claimed, that you own, that, you know, suits what you created, we're going to make this other category to move it back and make it harder for you. Like, are we just going to keep separating genres and artists out? Where does it end?
Right.
Until everybody gets an award? Because at that point, the Grammys, I feel like, are lowering their prestige level by making a million more categories. Like, just be truly inclusive and equitable in your process and in your practices, as opposed to creating more categories to, like, on the outside appease, even though on the inside we know what the actual effect of that is. You know, the last time that BTS attended and were nominated for the Grammys, they were nominated for Best Pop Group / Duo. They've been nominated for this, what, three times? And they have lost every time because they lose to artists that are collaborating. For example, they lost to Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande for Rain on Me. And when we were thinking about this yesterday, we were like, why not just create two separate categories there? You don't have to name a category based on region or, you know, race or, you know, genre. You could have a best group performance, you know, and you could have a best collaboration, like you could have a best duo. Like, that would have created a non-issue.
I totally agree. I think where the Grammys are going totally wrong with this is they need to stop looking at just the artist, and they need to be looking at the music, and they need to define the music based off of that. You know, like you were saying, best pop duo group, and then the majority of features being put in there, where they're completely ignoring the fact that, like, features has become such a prominent part of music today. I feel like features were not as big 10 years ago.
Right.
Why not create a feature category so that these groups and these duos, which duos have been going on for a really long time, like, let the groups and duos have their category, you know, like, those that true artistry of a group, not features, but people who work and create music together consistently
all the time.
This is like, why are we? It could have been a complete resolution to the problem. Like, that could have just been the category for BTS. Pull features out of it and then, you know, let the groups and the duos actually have their category.
Right. And I think that that's more equitable for sure, because then it's not BTS going up in a category just against other artists that they've put into this Asian pop category, but it's going up against artists from around the world also, which I think is, like, historically what the Grammys have been, right? Like, we talk about how they're they have European artists that are represented at the Grammys, and, you know, let everyone be in the group category together or the duo category together. I think you hit it right on the head too when you said that the Grammys need to look at the music instead of looking at the artist, because the artist it makes me think of like the Justin Bieber situation where he made an R&B album and they're like, no, but you're Justin Bieber, you're pop music,
you're pop,
so we're putting you in pop. Like, they're stereotyping based on their own preconceived conceptions of the artist, as opposed to just looking at the new individual music that could be up for an award.
Yes.
And seeing where it falls.
There's so many artists who genre dip. Like, I think it's a part of being an artist and the musicality of being able to explore those different genres. And that's what needs to be celebrated, is the music itself, and not just be looking at the artist. Yeah, absolutely. Just going back to this best group, best duo category as well, I think that BTS has been nominated for a total of 5 Grammys in the past, with the majority of all of these nominations being in the best pop duo group performance category. And when you really break down this category, just looking at the title itself of best pop group performance, how on earth, like, objectively, BTS is the biggest, most well-known group in the entire world right now. How have they not won this category? Like, it just is, it's very clear that that the Grammys just do not want to give BTS a Grammy. Like, it's clear at this point, because the lack of them winning this category and then going as far to create now an Asian specific category only further justifies the argument that they just are, like, so prejudiced, and they just are truly ignoring BTS's impact on the music industry.
Right.
And it's disappointing, because the Grammys are supposed, like, you have the Oscars, you have the Emmys, whatever, like, the Grammys are thrown in with that. And I would hope that with that title comes a lot of responsibility to really show what's happening in music today. And they're completely missing the bar on BTS. And so it's unfortunate for them, because BTS is, like, a huge moment in history, music history.
Yeah. And it's like, I know that we are a fangirl podcast about BTS and that we've, you know, loved them since 2017. So, of course, our opinion is going to be, there's some bias in there. And I have to remember that. But also, I'm thinking about, like, when BTS, like, the, you know, 2022 and 2023, the most recent years that they were active and nominated for this category, thinking about who they went up against, I just think it would be so crazy for anyone, any of the voters, to watch all of the available performances and not be like, wow, that was the best performance. Like, that was incredible, you know, like, the vocals, the visuals, the dance, the, you know, the choreo, just everything stacked together. And I just, like, I don't know. It's just where I still go back to, like, it's just prejudice. Like, it's people being like, well, or maybe even just familiarity. Like, they're more familiar with, you know, Sam Smith instead of, you know, BTS. But it's just, it's hard to overcome when there's that type of, you know, like, we're assuming that there's some implicit bias that people may or may not recognize within themselves, that they are, you know, the voters are, you know, that they have. Gosh, it's so,
I mean, kind of going back to your point though, I think we can understand that obviously we love BTS and, like, we're gonna say that they're the biggest band in the group, but, like, Google it. Like, Google it. Like, is Google bias?
That's so true. Like, the literally biggest group in the world right now. I also,
it's gonna be Coldplay, and it's gonna be Coldplay and BTS.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're, like, collaborating together all the time.
They're always in this category together, by the way, like, every year.
Yes.
I also, the part about this quote where he says, like, meet the needs of our music community, I think it goes along with what you were saying. I'm just thinking, like, okay, who is included in, quote, our music community? Like, whose needs, whose interests are they protecting? Because when they're saying this, this doesn't read as, like, the American music consumer, you know, like, it reads as, like, their exclusive elitist community. And something about elitist groups is that they don't usually like to let people in to their little club, you know?
No.
So,
yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So, that's exactly it. There's no better way to put it.
Yeah.
then they're just elitists and BTS aren't welcome in their community.
Yeah. It's just so crazy to me that we're speaking so harshly of the Grammys and like reading into all of this and assuming all of this that's going on in the background based on the evidence that we see. But also knowing that last year, Bad Bunny, a Spanish-speaking artist, won Album of the Year and Song of the Year. Or Artist of the Year. Artist of the Year and Artist Album of the Year. Yeah. The two,
I think it took him a while to get there.
Biggest awards. Oh, yeah, it did.
And I think it came down to undeniable numbers, which I would think that
BTS would also have.
There were undeniable numbers, but they still continue to just make a totally separate category for him.
I think that's the issue, too. Because Bad Bunny was also, like, in the, you know, Urbano Latino album category and, you know, like one in those two. But I think because of his impact that he had on not just the United States, but the world with his album last year, I think that they had to include him in those categories. And it just makes me so curious on if the Grammys would have nominated BTS for not only the best Asian pop performance, but also those front runner categories, or if they would have just pigeonholed them into it. And this is a whole what if that we already got into
we got into this last episode, and BTS have been so wronged by them before.
It's so true.
That I couldn't help but to feel like, man, we just know their music. We know where they are now. We know that they absolutely qualify and could totally win those major categories. But I just think kind of what I'm gathering now, just talking about Bad Bunny, is that the Grammys just take longer to get there.
Yeah.
To get to that point. I feel like maybe eventually, but not this year, that BTS could win.
I also think that like Arirang as a work of art is so different than what they have done in the past, and that each song takes you all over the place. Like, I still think about our first listen through, how we feel like we got like smacked by Hooligan, you know? We were like, oh my gosh, what the hell was that? We loved it, but what the hell, you know? I think that it's such different music that it takes, you know, more nuance and more like discussion and more thinking to be able to like really appreciate it. Like a lot of the songs you can just, I mean, we love them first listening. We were like, oh, this is so awesome. But we're also predisposed to enjoying BTS music, you know, not to say that we love every single one of their songs and their history. But like for Arirang specifically, we really love all the songs. And I just don't think that like this album could be appreciated at the level, like the critical acclaim that it has by the Grammys. You know, I just don't think that they usually see albums with such nuance, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyways, here's where we're at with all of this. We feel like the core issue is the naming of a category by a region and genre. And from their statement, it seems like the Grammys were trying to be inclusive, but inclusivity is not equity. And BTS deserves equity. We want equity for them. It feels like this category is giving Asian pop artists a seat at the kids' table instead of just straight up seat at the table. It's very othering to name a category by region and genre. It's not inclusive at its core. It's like cookie cutter inclusivity, but it has no depth to it.
Yeah.
And since BTS has been nominated for the best duo group performance category, it got us thinking, oh, we kind of already talked about this, like, why not just create that best group performance category? It feels like now, after all this discussion, it was just staring them right in the face. And it also seems to align with Mason Jr.'s statement about meeting the needs of their music community. Like, I think it would meet those needs. It would provide a space for BTS and groups like them and other groups that, you know, perform at that level without like othering at the same time. So it seems like, how could they have overlooked that option?
How could they have overlooked that option? Like, it just seems like a much easier solution without othering so significantly as best Asian pop performance or whatever. Yeah. We delved into another article titled, Does K-Pop Need the Grammys? And this article points out that the Grammys are seen as the pinnacle and the highest goal for many Asian artists. However, with BTS not submitting, are there other artists now have to decide, like, if they're going to follow suit or if they're going to submit their music? And I think this is like a really interesting point that we can kind of talk about. Like, we've talked about BTS paving the way. I could see BTS being supportive of people who want to go ahead and take that route and say, hey, maybe our impact isn't we want a Grammy, but that we've created now a category that can have other K-pop artists or other Asian artists win a Grammy if that's like a serious goal for them. I could see BTS not blaming them for doing that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think BTS would blame any group for submitting. Like, the chance to get a Grammy is so appealing, and this category definitely makes it easier for artists like coming from Asia who make pop music to be able to like, you know, get a shot at it. So yeah, but I think, like we said, HYBE is still submitting. I'm sure the other major companies that are in K-pop will also still submit artists, like, you know, no artists and other artists have publicly commented on what they're planning to do.
And you kind of talked about this earlier when we were doing research, Kayla, just about how other artists might not have as much say as like the company, and the company might take this as like an opportunity for their groups to get better recognized and put their name out there more and their music out there more and more exposure to help with the popularity and growth of the group.
Right. Whereas BTS have a lot of autonomy at this point to be able to make those decisions for themselves, and HYBE can't really tell them like one way or the other what they have to do.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it is a great opportunity. I'm thinking about right now how we used to talk a lot about before, like, the military, BTS are tired of having to be first.
Yeah,
it's a lot of weight to carry.
Also, it's not even just being first too, but like, you kind of mentioned this earlier too about how like they probably don't, like, the Grammys don't have as much nuance for listening to Arirang and everything. But they shouldn't have to cater their music anymore.
No, they should not.
I'm sick of catering their music.
That's what I think it is, too.
They tried it. It didn't work. They lost themselves in it. Fuck that.
I feel like it almost broke them up as a group in that era to be chasing a Grammy. Like, that's what the 2022 Festa was really all about, you know? And it was hard as a fan to see that and to reckon with that. A million times harder for the group to go through it. Like, to see RM crying, to see the other members crying and just be totally wrecked and feel like and it's all because of this chasing of a Grammy, this like almost unattainable goal. I feel like it would just feel empty for them at this point. Well, I really like this article that you mentioned. There was a interesting quote that came up from it. That's from Anton Herr, and he's one of the co-translators of BTS's book, Beyond the Story, 10-Year Record of BTS. And so I just love, this is a guy who knows BTS's story in and out, you know? And in a social media post about the category and then the Grammys deciding to reconsider it, whatever that may mean, he said, "I often count the number of persons of color and Asian nominees in a book prize long list, and when I see just one, I can tell immediately that it was the token pick. BTS was always being used to shore up viewer numbers for the Grammys." Like, I think he is 100% correct. Like, it does not feel good to be tokenized and to be like, oh, look, we're inclusive because we have this one Asian act. Like, that is not what inclusivity is. And I love that he's like pointing out that they're likely just using BTS for viewership, which is something that many people online hold to be true. There was a Korean Music Awards selection committee member, Kim Sung-won, and they said, "If the Academy intends to boost the profile of K-pop acts, it would have been better to explicitly recognize K-pop as a genre and create its own category." Just like we mentioned earlier, that the other awards shows have already done. Like, that would have been better, you know?
At least we know and can say that K-pop is more of a genre. But best Asian pop act or whatever this category, it just like, again, it's the genre region. What are we doing?
Right.
Yeah. And it would have been better if it was a K-pop category.
Totally. I also love what he or what they ended with, where they said there's a certain level of pride with BTS now. Even if BTS doesn't win, BTS is still BTS to people around the world. The group itself has become a source of national pride. And
yeah,
I think this sentiment is ultimately what drove BTS's decision to not submit to the Grammys and to uphold their own pride in themselves and their work as a group by not allowing themselves to be subject to this game that the Grammys is playing.
Yes, 100%. And I feel like this is the exact same note that we left off on in our last episode of just BTS are proud of their album. They're proud of who they are now. They've come so far and they don't have to seek that validation or leave their album up to the Grammys opinion of it or anyone else's, really. Like, they just have a lot of pride and BTS is still BTS to the world.
Right. Well, we're still not sure what the Grammys are going to do with this category, if they're going to rename it, if they're going to nix it, if they're going to, you know, I think it's too late for them to make categorical changes, and Grammys submissions are due, you know, by the end of this month. So it'll just be interesting to see what ends up happening with this. I think it is a good thing that there's discourse within the Recording Academy about, wow, we really messed up. We did not make the right choice with this.
Yeah.
We missed the bar.
And maybe I'm too emotional and too harsh with the Grammys, but I do hope that they can reevaluate their process and reevaluate their own biases that could be taking place and to let go some of their own pride and rather catch up with the times.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
All right. Part two. We're not doing a part three, guys. We won't do a
part
off.
Three. We really did not expect to talk about it again, but just this freaking post, this PR-ass created, you know, statement from Harvey Mason Jr. that just just continued the discourse for us. So we had to touch on it again, and you know, hopefully when we come back in a couple weeks, we'll have some other more fun BTS content to talk about. But we hope that you guys still enjoyed this discourse about the Grammys and, you know, kind of like our conversational look into what is going on here and what does this mean for them and also for BTS. Definitely something that's worth talking about, especially in this day and age, and just the continual fight for equity is always going to be something that's important. So super proud of BTS, love them so much, and you know, just excited for what they're doing in their career these days.
Absolutely.
All right, well, as always, you can find links for all of the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.